You're listening to episode 72 of Women in Business, Inspirational Stories of Women Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney. Today's guest built a sweet multi-million dollar nationwide empire while cleaning toilets. Gigi Butler, founder of Gigi's Cupcakes, went from California cleaning to famous cupcake queen, and she started her entrepreneurial journey as a California teen and moved to Nashville to pursue her love of music. And one phone call from her brother one day while cleaning toilets sweetly changed her life. And y'all, I am so excited to share Gigi's story with you today. Gigi is an entrepreneur and the author of the newly released book, The Secret Ingredient, Recipes for Success in Business and Life. And she opened her first cupcake shop with only $33 to her name. Today, Gigi's is now the largest cupcake franchise in the world with over 100 locations and counting. And she grossed an estimated $43 million in sales in 2013. Gigi is living the American dream, and I'm so excited to have her on the show. This sweet interview is full of fun and behind the scenes of building an empire, so let's get rolling. This episode is brought to you by From Side Hustle to CEO, my free Facebook group. It's a community developed to help female entrepreneurs launch and scale their own service-based businesses, and it's available now. You can find us by searching From Side Hustle to CEO in the Facebook groups. Come join us as we share our wins and business advice and support each other on our journeys as female entrepreneurs. It's totally free and we would love to have you. And if you'd like more information on my private and group coaching services, reach out to me. I'm on social media or you can go to my website, CourtneyBaker.com. Together, we will walk you through each of the steps to finally getting the clarity and momentum you need to get your service-based business open and operational. For more information, go to my website, CourtneyBaker.com. Welcome to Women in Business, Inspiring Stories of Women Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Dr. Courtney Baker. Female entrepreneurs are the next wave of business success, and women-led companies are thriving. Join us each Monday for empowering and inspiring stories and interviews of female entrepreneurs who have overcome the odds and achieved incredible success on their own terms. Their stories will leave you inspired and empowered to be the woman in business you were meant to be. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey guys, this is Courtney, and I am so honored to have Gigi Butler here with me today. Gigi, thanks for joining me.
Well, it's an honor to be on the show. Thank you. I love Texas. I'm from Oklahoma originally, so go Horns, huh?
That's right. My son went to UT. Ooh. Gigi, I love your story from California cleaning to cupcake queen. So tell us all about your journey for those of us who don't know it.
Well, long story short, I was a serial entrepreneur. I did have a dream at seven to go to Nashville and be a singer-songwriter. And to fund that dream, I decided to start a business called Gigi's Cleaning Company when I was 15. So I've cleaned about 65,000 toilets, and I've got the scars and calluses to prove it. And I moved to Nashville, dropped out of college, don't recommend that to anyone, but moved to Nashville. And started cleaning during the day and then singing at night, and did that for a long time. And after I knew that it was time to not do music any longer, I decided to expand my cleaning business. And all of a sudden, the miracle of cupcakes came into my life, and I was open to the opportunity, and I went for it. And here we are.
Here we are. So let's back up. Cleaning at 15. How did that happen? You just opened your cleaning business?
Well, my dad was a serial entrepreneur when I was a kid. He would try everything, Potbelly pig business to a hair salon to a arcade to, I mean, name it, we've done it. And at 15, I'm like, well, how hard can a business be, right? I see my dad do it all the time. And I, of course, didn't drive. I didn't have any money, but I'm like, well, I've got enough money to buy some mops and buckets and some cleaning supplies. So I walked a mile to a place called Mayflower Gardens. It was a assisted living. Here we go. That's politically correct. And I knocked on doors, and that was the start of Gigi's Cleaning Company. And then there was a huge boom where I was raised, and in the 80s, and everything started, just all houses. People would come from LA and build houses there. So I started doing construction cleaning at 17, and then I started commercial cleaning at 18. And so I started, you know, going into job sites with these contractors looking at me like, who's this little girl? And I'm bidding these, huge jobs. And I, of course, underbid because I wanted the job. And they, of course, were laughing behind my back. But I would prove to them, hey, I need to work. I want this gig. I'll do it for $500 less than they'll do it. And I got the jobs. And the rest is history. I cleaned for about 20 years. And I've cleaned everything from rusty old toilet bowl to mansions to construction. International House Pancakes, Blockbuster Videos, office buildings, doctor's office, lawyer offices. So name it, I've cleaned it.
Taylor Swift's toilet.
Taylor Swift's bathroom, yes. Among Leanne Rimes and lots of industry people and famous people as well.
So what, and then you transitioned from there, you decided, you know, I'm really tired of toilet bowls, so let's start Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but you well, have to use it first.
That's not really what happened. So what happened, here's the backstory. What happened is my brother went, I was cleaning a bathroom at the time, a client's bathroom. All the epiphanies of my life happened in a bathroom. And well, I'm cleaning a toilet, but that's where God wants us, right? Humble and willing to do anything. Mm-hmm. So he called me. He's like, I'm standing in line at a cupcake shop for 2 hours in New York City. You've got to open a cupcake shop in Nashville. I was like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, your cupcakes are better than theirs. So I went to the bank and they all laughed in my face. And I went ahead and took out $100,000 cash advances on my credit cards and went for it. And my first store, I was still cleaning houses up until my 13th store was built. Wow. And finally, the people, my partner and my parents and everyone, they're like, you have to stop cleaning. I'm like, it's my baby business. I love this business. But finally, it was a big step for me to stop cleaning because I loved it. It was my security, and it was time to jump to something else, make the leap.
I think so many times God has us in that space where we have to let go of our security to really see what his plan is, and I love that.
Right.
So did you sell that business?
I actually had a buyer, but I did not. I was so busy, I did not have time to sell it. So what I did is I sat down and I had 5 girls that were working for me at the time, and I dispersed all the clients to them, and I let them start their own businesses. And still to this day, 3 of the girls still have all of their clients and they're still working.
Oh my God. I love that, because I mentor female millennial entrepreneurs to help them start and scale their own businesses.
Right.
And so just the ability to say that you have changed lives. I mean, it's just so impactful.
Well, I had one of my girls that used to clean for me for years. She knocked on my window about 2 months ago, downtown Franklin, and said, remember me? She goes, thank you for giving me a chance. She said, I've expanded my business. It's huge now. I love you, Gigi. And I'm like, I love you, Nadine. Go, girl.
Oh my God. I love that, Gigi. I love it. Love it. Love it. So I'm sure that you have had trials though throughout this journey.
Oh no, not at all. No trials.
Perfect and roses. I call it the entrepreneurial roller coaster. So right. Tell us, like, what's been the hardest part of your journey?
Well, first of all, being an entrepreneur, you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable every day of your life, period. If you are not if you're comfortable, then something's wrong. Yeah. So that being said, I think the hardest thing for me has been able to let go. And the best book I ever read was a book called The E-Myth Theory by Michael Gerber. And it was all about letting go. If you're going to grow, you have to let go. You have to empower your people to do what they do best so you can do what's best. And most people who have that mind of being an entrepreneur, I mean, we're control freaks, period. I mean, you want it right. You want it the best. You want to micromanage, but micromanaging is not the way to grow a business or to be successful. You have to be into details, no doubt. And you have to be over everything and make sure everyone's doing their job. But what I've learned is I can't do everything well. I don't want to do everything well. I want to do what I do well. I want to hire the other people around me that shine. And so we all look good because we're all doing our little parts in growing a business.
Yeah. I mean, when you're not operating in your zone of genius, it is something that you're drained. And, right. And I see so many women go through that where they're just drained constantly because they're trying to do it all and manage it all when they have the ability to hire out.
Right.
You can't let go of that control. Was that something that was hard for you?
It's still been the most painful thing of my life because it's your little baby. You birth this baby. You want it to be right. Your face is on the building. Your name is on the building. You want people to get it right. And sometimes they don't. And that's been a very painful thing for me, but you have to let things grow. And you cannot do it all.
Let it go to let it grow. That's so, right. So true. So let's go back in your journey. You opened in 2008.
Yes.
You had $33 left to your name.
Right.
Was that after the cash advances?
Well, yes. So I had the cash advances and finally I got $100,000 in my bank and I went out to find a location my landlord at the time, wasn't my landlord. He didn't know what he was getting himself into. He's like, a cupcake shop? Are you out of your mind? So after badgering him for months, he finally let me lease the space. Well, while the space was being built out, I would still clean because I had to make money. And the day before I opened, here's a backstory that's only in my book. I don't really share much, but I had literally $33. All these business people, all these famous people that I cleaned for were like, you have to have a business plan. You have to have marketing. I'm like, I've got $33. I'm just winging it. And they're like, you're nuts. I'm like, I know. So that day I was there and I had cleaned two houses to pay the plumber who was waiting there for his check. And once that was paid, I'd had $33. So my contractor came in. He's like, I forgot a bill. I said, okay, well, I don't have any money. I'll have to pay it. He goes, it's a $15,000 drywall bill. And I literally had my first and only pull apart on the floor. And I mean, I just went to a heap on the floor and I was like, God, how can I do this? How is this going to happen? And so I woke up the next morning with the burden of having a $15,000 bill, not really knowing what I was doing and having $33 to my name. So, and the rest is history.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, I opened my doors and a steady stream of customers started coming through the door. And then a lady that is a wife to a famous TV guy here, she brought these cupcakes home like the fourth or fifth day that I had opened. And she's like, these cupcakes are amazing. You've got to go down there and do a story. And so he came down and said, can I do a story on you? What's all this? What's this cupcake thing? And that's where my lines formed and I was in business. I never looked back. We started, the first day I sold 200 cupcakes. Second day I sold 250. Third day I sold, and then it just went from there. And today, still at the Broadway store, we sell between 750 and 1,500 cupcakes a day.
That is amazing. So you have the 2-hour lines now, huh?
We do. We do sometimes. Yeah.
So, and you're talking about letting go to grow. And one of the things that you've done in your journey is franchising. So talk about letting go of that ability to really have control, but and trust others. So tell me about that, how that happened.
Well, my landlord saw the lines and he came to me. He's like, you should franchise this concept. I'm like, what's a franchise? I'm an avid reader. So I started reading about it. I'm like, yeah, this is for me. Because what most people don't realize is being in the franchise business, it gets your name out very quickly if you franchise right and you have the right processes. And people spend their money to expand your name, basically. If you have a big chunk of money, which I didn't have, what you should do is grow corporately and grow corporate stores so you can own those stores. If you have three or four stores and you own 100% of them, that's a great business model as well. I didn't have that option. So franchising was the thing for me. And it just became in demand. And so it was a natural fit because people from Indianapolis or Phoenix or Dallas, I mean, they're like, we want to franchise this. We want to franchise. I'm like, no, there's only one. So it just kind of happened naturally. Like it was meant to be. It was a snowball effect.
And now, so you went from that one store. Was the second store a franchise or...
The second store was a company. I own the second store, and I wanted to be able to model that before I franchise. But like, I opened February 21st, 2008. By the end of 2009, we had 12 stores. So, I mean, and then by the end of 2010, we had 32 stores. By the end of 2011, we had 65 stores. Like, it just, boom, it just happened. Then I got pregnant, and I'm a single mom, and she went on the road with me. I mean, it has been an amazing 11 years.
I want to hear that story because I was a single mom too. So how old is your daughter now?
She's 7. Uh-huh. And she's the light of my life. She is the best thing I ever baked. And I just love that little spitfire, man. I've nursed. And I wanted to be a full-time mom. I had prayed to be a mom my whole life. So I wasn't going to miss this opportunity. So at 6 weeks old, that little girl went on the road with me. She's been on 74 plane flights. She's only 7. She has traveled the country with me. I mean, she does grand openings with me. She knows how to swirl. She's been in business dinners. So she's just the light of my life. And I love it. It's a different thing. I mean, I come home and she says, okay, where are you going today, Mom? I said, well, pack up. We got to go to, and she goes, okay, I got my bag packed. And we look at it as that we're a team. And I'm like, Kendall Sky, we've got to go on a business dinner tonight. Now I need you to be really part of this team. I need you to be, you know, kind. I need you to answer questions. I need you to be you. And she's like, okay, I got it.
Got this.
I got this.
Oh my gosh, Kendall Sky. That is so cute. I love it. So when you started franchising, were you afraid you'd lose quality or control?
Yes, scared to death. And I did. I did in many ways. And it's been a uphill battle. And it's been the best thing I've ever done, but it's been the hardest thing I've ever done. And I would recommend to anyone, before you get in the franchise business, really, really think about it. Get really good wisdom and be wise about making your decisions. Because a franchise model has to be consistent. Franchises are based on consistency. If you're not consistent, you will die, period. Then you have to fight for consistency. I fought tooth and nail every day of my life for consistency. No, I'm not going to take that quality. No, you're going to do better. No, that is not how I roll. And every day I had to be in people's faces and there were tears and there was happy times and great times. But, you know, franchising and being in business, especially as a woman, is not for the faint of heart.
So let's talk about that business as a woman. What have been some of the biggest struggles that you've dealt with being a woman in business?
Well, you think with cupcakes, yeah, how much time do you have? You think with cupcakes, there wouldn't be any good old boy system, right? You think, oh, it's cupcakes. It's easy. There's not going to be. No. When there's money involved and there's business involved, there's bullheaded people involved that want to, oh no, I'm, you know, you're just the little cupcake lady. Let me go ahead and take care of this for you. No, I'm the freaking founder and you're going to do it the way I tell you to do it. Oh my gosh. It's like, no, I don't care if this good old boy system, I don't care that you have more experience than me. You didn't start this business. So it was a battle. It was a constant fight. And fighting my CFO, fighting Alan, sometimes my partner, fighting my parents, you know, I look at what we did is I was a pilgrim in this, and I was, you know, the first person that ever did a franchise for cupcakes, period. We were the first people that did it. So we pilgrimaged our way through this maze of uncertainty. We didn't know what we were doing, but we figured it out. So people say, oh, I know better. No, I don't think you do. I'll take wise counsel. I mean, I'm all about learning and being humble, but don't force your will on something that you didn't create.
And I love that. And I love the power that you just said that. No, I am the freaking founder.
Yeah.
Because I think so many women especially cow down to, and I know based on my research, how many women lack confidence, and to right. have that confidence in saying, I know what I'm doing. I may not be strong in this aspect of business, or I may right. need help here, but this I know.
Right. I may not have gone to an Ivy League school or been the, you know, executive chef of a, you know, but you know what? My gut and my business instinct is right on, and you are going to trust it.
Yeah.
So
and
people,
damn good cupcake.
That's right.
I'm in the cupcake business. So sit down.
Sit down, buddy. Yeah. Let me tell you how we're going to roll today.
I love it. I love it. So did you have a business mentor?
I've had many business mentors. I really look up to powerful women, and maybe not even in my industry, Joyce Meyer. I love her power and her strength of, you know what, she wasn't born a preacher. She just figured it out. And people like that, I love Reba McEntire. I love how she is just one of the most savvy business people I've ever known. And I admire her. I love Martha Stewart. I mean, she did jail like anybody. She was awesome. She rolled with it. She became stronger. She's classy. She is strong, and she has a strong vision. And any woman that's listening to this, you have to have a strong vision. You can't bull your way through anything. You have to have lots of caress with things, and you have to be able to be a kind, humble person. But you have to have vision. If you don't have vision, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. Where there is no vision, the people will perish.
Correct.
I know, and I love that you say that you're the American dream. And like I said, that's how I feel I am too.
Right.
And tell me about your new book, The Secret Ingredient, Recipes for Success in Business and Life, because it was just released last year.
It was December 4th. And it's kind of a different book. It is a life story. But in the end of every chapter, I have a business lesson. And then I have a recipe. So it's kind of a business book, a life story book, and a recipe book at the same time.
So and what was the catalyst to writing your story and your book?
Well, three years ago, I wanted to write a cookbook. And so when I would put my daughter down to bed, I would write from 9 to 12. And I already had written a cookbook, like a full cookbook. And it just became that people were interested in doing my life story instead. So a publisher came and said, we don't want the cookbook right now. We'd like your life story, but we'd like to have a recipe. So that's how it came to be. And it took 2 years to write. And it was a very difficult thing to do, but very rewarding.
Difficult how?
Well, when you're pulling all the pain and all of the things that's happened to you, and you're trying to write it down. And I had a co-writer, and we would sit there, and I said, how can I voice this without being bitter? Because I don't ever want people to think that I'm bitter, or that I'm, you know, holding grudges against people. Or, I mean, it's so important to have grace and to forgive and to go forward with your life. But when I was writing this book, there were so many painful things that I've had to deal with. So it was really like a counseling session. I really had to closure on lots of things. It was very hard. I mean, I wrote 8 hours a day. And for almost 2 years, it was a full-time job with not making any money at it. So plus being a mom, plus traveling, plus doing the cupcakes. Mm-hmm. So it was hard work, but it was worth it.
Absolutely. And so what, other than having a vision, what was some of the best business advice you gave in your book?
To what would you give to new budding entrepreneurs that are listening?
I think that following your gut is always the best. Listen to wise counsel, but your gut is never wrong. Because it's your conscious, your self-conscious, and you know it's your compass. And I think going with your gut, and if something's screaming at you and you can't let it go to start something, to create something, then that's God telling you to, hello, I'm trying to tell you here, you got to create something. And I think people are so afraid to step out and fail that they don't listen to their inner self, so they don't listen to their gut and what it's really telling them. So if I would say that to any entrepreneur, if it's just nagging at you and you want to create, you know, we're made to create. So why don't you go ahead and do what you're made to do? Whether it's cupcakes or a book or, you know, gardening or something, we were made to create. So make a difference, have a purpose, and go with your gut.
I love it. So you are speaking right now all over. And so what else is on the horizon for you?
Well, there's some exciting things. I am speaking across the country to colleges, chamber conferences, businesses, and I love doing that because the people are so, when I get there, they just want to, they're like sponges. They want to hear. And I love meeting new people. What I am also doing is I'm potentially working on a TV deal to do a cooking show or a baking show of some way, of something. And I have a textile line out. And I don't know, it's a blue sky. I don't know what's going to happen today. And there's a bright, bright future for Gigi's Cupcakes as well.
Oh, I love it. And Gigi Butler. I love
Correct.
It. Yeah. And you know, I think just being open to that, I mean, you have the ability to do, like you said, blue sky and just putting your hands out and saying, okay, God, what's next?
Right.
So what do you think right now your 80-year-old self would say to you?
If I'm sitting on the porch and I put this in my book, I have never wanted to be the person and I'm rocking there. I've never wanted to say, what if? That's been my biggest fear of my life and my biggest motivator. I don't ever want to say, what if I would have tried? What if I would say, why not? Why not? So I want to sit on my 80 years old, sitting on a porch, and I want to go, you know what? I finished well. I left a legacy of love. I did what I said what I was going to do. And I'm proud of the person I am because I made mistakes, I bumps and bruises, but I tried and I said, why not?
I love it. Oh my gosh. Gigi, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for your time today. I know you are a busy, busy lady and I appreciate it. And your book, we can get it at anywhere books are sold. Is that right?
Amazon, anywhere books are sold, ggbutler.com. You can get it anywhere. If you do go on ggbutler.com and order one, then I can write it to you. I can personalize it and sign it for you. But through Amazon, I can't. But through ggbutler.com, I can.
Okay. And then if someone wants to book you to speak, they just need to go to ggbutler.com?
GigiButler.com. It's all there. And I hope to see you soon.
That's great. Thank you so much, Gigi.
Thank you. This has been such an honor. I really appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate yours.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thanks so much for joining me. And if you're a female entrepreneur ready to scale your business and just don't know how, or if you have questions, reach out to me, Courtney@CourtneyBaker.com. Guys, enjoy your week. Share the show with someone who needs some inspiration. And before you go, head over to the iTunes store and rate and review, preferably with 5 stars. It helps me out, but also helps others find the show. And bonus, you can subscribe while you're there. Okay, y'all, I'm out. It's Courtney, and connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube @Dr. Courtney. Have a great day.